We are returning to the book of Acts, okay, which was written in the first century, 2000 years ago. And we are just returning to the book of Acts. So we are going to return to the book of Acts, and then we are going to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit. And then we are going to receive a renewed passion for our church. This is the big idea of this sermon series. Okay. The first big idea is returning to the book of Acts. Okay. 2000 years ago. What happened to the church? The early church. Between AD 33 and AD 64. Those 30 years. And then recognizing the work of the Spirit in those days. And then the third one is receiving a renewed passion. This is the big idea for this sermon series. And today, as part of it, I just had a kind of a bird's eye view from the book of Acts, how the early church experienced God. So we have our seven values for our church. We have identified seven values. And one of the seven values is experiencing God. And I thought, okay, it would be good if I look back, and if we as a church look back to the Acts of the Apostles and see how the early church experienced God. When they came together for worship, what happened? And then that might give us a renewed and a fresh passion for our church. So, there are three passages in the book of Acts. There are three passages in the book of Acts. Number one is Acts chapter 2, 44 to 47. And then number two is Acts chapter 4, 32 to 34. And then Acts chapter 9, 31. Acts chapter 2 verses 44 to 47. I just read for you. All who believed were together and had all things in common. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to the number those who were being saved. This is one of the key passages to know about the early church. The believers were together. And they spent time together in the temple. And also they broke bread at home. They ate their food with glad and generous hearts. And they were praising God. How in the world they were able to do it regularly? Something happened that did not stop them from coming together. They experienced the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And even in Acts chapter 4, 32 to 34, we read, now the whole group, the early Christians, now the whole group of those who believe were of one heart and one soul. This is a key, okay? All those gathered together were of one heart, one soul. And no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave the testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace. This is the second passage. And we are going to learn more about this in the days to come. But I just want to bring to your notice how the early church gathered together. What was their characteristics? Okay. What did they value the most? And the third verse is Acts chapter 9, 31. It says, meanwhile, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was built up, living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. Okay? This verse is a pivotal verse in the book of the Acts. Okay? And if you know about the book of Acts, the believers gathered together and they were focusing their time in worship in Jerusalem. And then God used Peter and he did miracles and people came to know the Lord in more number. And then in this chapter 9, we see Saul being transformed to Paul. We see that encounter in this chapter. And afterwards, slowly, from Jerusalem, the gospel penetrated to Samaria. And then we know the story. After Acts chapter 13, the gospel went everywhere. The gospel went everywhere. Nook and corner. Through Apostle Paul. This is the story. But this verse is very important because the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, they had peace and was built up, strengthened. They lived in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and it increased in numbers from 120 to 3,000, 3,000 to 5,000, and 5,000 to, there's no number mentioned in the Bible. It increased. J.B. Phillips, okay, he has written New Testament for the new generation in modern English, okay. He puts this verse like this. The whole church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria now enjoyed a period of peace. It became established as it went forward in reverence for the Lord. This is the key. In reverence for the Lord. And in the strengthening presence of the Holy Spirit, they continued to grow in numbers. Here, if you see carefully, you will notice the church. Okay? Not the plural form for church. Not churches. Only the church gathered in Jerusalem, but later on, as they more and more people came to know the Lord from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Galilee, more and more churches were planted. And here, the author writes with capital C, okay, not the small letter C, a capital C, which means ecclesia in Greek, to refer the whole body of believers. The whole body of believers came together for worship in reverence and awe. They experienced God. In reverence and awe. And as a result, the church grew. Judea. Okay, the first 7 chapters of the book of Acts, you will see all the activities are happening only in and around Judea, Jerusalem. In that time, it was only one church. Okay, even in Acts 5:11, the author refers to the whole church. The author refers to the church in Jerusalem. Okay. From Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 5, there was only one church. And then, the persecution scattered the believers. All those who gathered in Jerusalem, they got scattered because of the persecution. And then, people went and around Samaria, they planted a church. And then, those who went to Galilee, especially In the Acts of the Apostles, Galilee is not mentioned, but we know that while Jesus was on the earth, most of the activities happened in and across, in and around Galilee. John Stott is a world famous mission and evangelical leader. From this particular verse, Acts chapter 9:31, he refers to five characteristics of a healthy church. Okay, from this particular verse, he refers to five characteristics of a healthy church. Number one, peace. Okay, there should be peace as the believers, body of Christ, if they come together for worship, there should be peace. If there is peace, we can certainly experience the power of God. And then, strength. Consolidation. They grow from strength to strength. Church is never a monument, but it should be a movement. A monument, it will be, you know, remembered forever, and people visit that, and it will become a tourist place. But church is not meant to be a monument. A church is meant to be a movement. And the early church, they had peace when they came to worship. And also, they grew from strength to strength. And then the third one is encouragement. Here, the encouragement comes from the Holy Spirit God. Because we know one of the special ministry of the Holy Spirit is to encourage. The fourth characteristic is growth. Growth. Multiplying numerically. Church. There should be peace. They should grow from strength to strength. They should have some kind of encouragement and growth. And finally, godliness. Living in the fear of the Lord. Living in the fear of the Lord. Awe and reverence. These five are very important. Peace, strength, encouragement, growth, and living in the fear of the Lord. If we have all these five characteristics as we come to worship, certainly we are going to experience God. Fear of the Lord. We may wonder, what does it mean? D.A. Carson, a New Testament scholar, says, fear of the Lord means a sense of awe and reverence at the mighty power of God. We know, as we come to the church to worship, where two or three are gathered, He is there. For sure, in our midst. A sense of awe and reverence at the mighty power of God. Mighty presence of God. When we have such awe and reverence, He says, it will lead us to worship. It will lead us to experience God in our worship. How many of us have really come to worship with such an awe and reverence? When we sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," how many of us sing from here, not from here? When we sing, "How great thou, Lord," how many of us can be able to sing from our heart, from our gut, not from our lips? When we have a sense of awe and reverence, our worship will be meaningful. We will experience God. Here, the mighty power of God is mentioned. Okay? Where two or three are gathered, in His name, God is at work. Even in the same chapter, okay, right before this verse, you see the transformation of Saul. We know his early life. He was persecuting the church. And even he had received letters to persecute. And as he was going and approaching a place where he came to know that there are more believers gathered there to worship. It's Damascus. And he felt suddenly a light from heaven flashing around him. The real presence of God. The real presence of God. And immediately Saul fell to the ground, had heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" The real presence of God. Even as he was going to persecute the church, he was able to see and hear God's voice. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And immediately Saul asked, "Who are you? Who are you, Lord?" And God was patient enough to explain, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And we know this story. For 3 days he was without sight, neither ate nor drank. And God sent his servant Ananias. Though initially he was little assistant, he went and laid hands on Saul. And the rest is the history. And Saul felt the presence of God, the transforming presence of God, and he immediately started to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. He received a letter to persecute the church, but towards the end, he came to know the Lord. And even John Stott says this: "The story of Saul's conversion in Acts 9 begins with him leaving Jerusalem with an official mandate from the high priest to arrest Christians, and ends with him leaving Jerusalem as a Christian himself." Within this chapter, within few verses, we could see how God's presence can transform even a person like Saul. When we come together for worship, when we really come in awe and reverence, even God's presence can transform our lives. Even today, the gospel has the power to transform people. Gospel has the power to transform people. As we come together for worship, we have to just come in awe and reverence. We have to live in the fear of the Lord, and we need to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. I just started a story last week. Okay, it's about a church that is still in Brooklyn, New York. And I read 2 chapters and then I shared about that. And for this sermon, I read the 3rd chapter. And for those who did not come last Sunday, I will just give a summary of what I shared. This church, pastored by Jim Cimbala, okay, when he became the pastor of this church, they had only a handful of people, just 20. And then they grew to 40 to 45. And then over a few years, they grew to 150 to 175, and within 5 years, they had more than 400 to 500 people, and then immediately they went to a 1,400 seat theater, and now they have more than 10,000 people. I shared about this last Sunday, and towards the end, I found out that our Jacob has been going to that church while he was in New York area. So it's a real church, okay, from 20 to 10,000. And I read this on the 3rd chapter. I will just read exactly. On Sundays, it was not unusual for the choir to sing and testify with such anointing that a spirit of praise would descend on the people. Okay? As they come to worship, as the choir led the worship, everyone felt the awesome presence of God. Once the choir had planned to do 3 songs, to introduce the second one, the former drug addict gave his testimony, okay, like a Saul. And he gave his testimony. There was such a powerful sense of God's love that I couldn't help walking up as the song was ending, putting one arm around the fellow and making an invitation right then for people to receive Christ. The response was immediate and strong. The choir never got around to singing the third song. They had planned to sing the third song. They had planned to sing three songs, but they were not able to sing the third song. They experienced God in their worship. Why that church grew from 20 to 10,000 in their worship? They experienced God. They experienced the hand of God. They experienced encouragement as they came to church. They received strength. And that helped the church to grow from strength to strength. I talked about J.B. Phillips, and his summary of the book of Acts is this one. The church began in power, and we know this. Last Sunday, we meditated on this. The church began in power, moved in power, moved just as long she had power, the early church. We can move, we can become a movement as long as we have the power of the Holy Spirit. As long as we come to worship in fear and awe and reverence. As long as we are able to meet our Savior and be strengthened. And we know this thing. When they did not feel, the church did not feel the power of God, They experienced lot of isms, schisms, this ism, that ism, because of lack of power. Because they failed to experience God's presence. So, what are some of the implications? I'm going to finish, okay? Number one, Matthew 18:15-20 says, okay, in that passage, mostly talk about church, okay? Mostly talk about church, and the final verses, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, I am there among them, in church context, okay? Where 2 or 3 are gathered, we are today more than 20 or 30, okay, if we include children, more than 50 maybe. Where 2 or 3 are gathered, He is in our midst. It's just our response to come in awe and worship to experience this real God. Number 2, John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Where 2 or 3 are gathered, God is present, but God is spirit. Those who come prepared to worship will be able to encounter the spirit. Those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. Number 3, Psalm 2:11. Serve the Lord with fear, with trembling. In another translation it says, serve the Lord, which means worship the Lord, with reverent fear and rejoice with trembling. These are some of the attitudes that we need to bring as we come to worship. Serve the Lord with reverent fear. And Psalm 122:1-4. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord to give thanks to the name of the Lord. How many of us are really glad when it is Sunday? How many of us are really glad? Word of God says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. If we have that spirit, I'm sure that we will for sure experience God in our worship. Psalm 95 says, oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. This is not about Pentecost church. This is about the church, which is in Psalm 95. Okay. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise with thanksgiving. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. So we come to worship a great King who is above all gods. So let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord. He is our God. We are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. And then finally, even Psalm 100, the second, the first Bible responsive reading. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. As we come to this church to worship, let us come with gladness and let's sing with gladness. Let's make a joyful noise. I'm sure that you won't go empty-handed. I bet. We would definitely experience the power of God, the transforming power of God. The power, the transforming power that transformed the life of Saul and so many people, including mine. We would experience such great power. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Let's come. Let's come to the church with thanksgiving. You know, we saw so many people came to the altar today for their birthdays, for their wedding anniversaries. Let's come. Let's give thanks to God. Because we know that it's all because of Him. We have nothing to boast. We live by His grace. No one can claim that it's all because of my smartness. No one. It's all because of His grace and mercy. Let us come joyfully. Let us come with gladness. Let us worship the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord. Let us come with cheerful heart. I'm sure we would encounter and experience God in our worship. That's how the early church experienced God. That's how the early church experienced God. That's what we learn from the book of Acts. Let us take to us and let's experience God in our worship. Let us pray. Father God, we really want to thank and we praise You for speaking to us through the book of Acts and how the early church, they experienced the transforming power of the gospel, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, as we come to worship, help us to experience that, O Lord. Help us to experience Your wonderful transforming power, O Master. Help us not to go with empty-handed, O Lord. Help us to come believing that You are present here. Help us to come believing that You are Spirit. And help us to worship in spirit and truth. Help us to come here with joyful heart, with glad heart. Help us to, Lord, come here and give thanks to You, worship You. Help us to really find peace here. Help us to really find strength here, encouragement here. Help us to find growth here. And above all, help us to come in awe and reverence. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.